item, please.
Item 601, accept bid of Moore Excavation, Inc. for the Woodlawn King Street Sewer Rehabilitation Project for $5,726,410.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. You have before you the procurement report recommending a contract award to Moore Excavation. The engineer's estimate on this project was $4,692,000 with a high confidence level. On April 4, 2017, five bids were received, and Moore Excavation is the low bidder at $5,726,410.
You're screwing up my whole thesis. Yeah, you're screwing up my whole
plan. I have another one after this.
All right, good. Good.
It's 26% over the engineer's estimate. The Bureau of Environmental Services has evaluated the bid items, and the cost for mobilization, trench backfill, pipe, spot repair have increased due to local market conditions for materials and labor. BES accepts the proposed pricing as good. The city put forward an aspirational goal for DMWESB subcontractor and supplier utilization at 20% of the hard construction costs for this project. Moore Excavation identified five divisions of work for DMWESB opportunities with participation at 11.2% or $640,538.67, with work being performed in trucking, saw cutting, traffic control, concrete, and erosion control. I will turn this back over to council. There are representatives from the contractor and BES
so,
here.
Christine, we've had this conversation before, but probably not with the two newest members of the council, so I just want to pose the question. In this instance, following the guidelines established by the city, the Bureau rated the project estimate confidence as high. But when the engineers do their estimating, technically they don't take into consideration market conditions. And so currently we are in a market where we know that there's, I heard from Willie Myers that the trades are at 150% of capacity. There's a crane on every corner. And as a result, according to the Portland Business Journal, you're starting to see inflation crop into bids and construction costs. Why? Because there's more work than available firms and bodies, and so we're bidding the prices up. And so could you just remind us, and this comes up periodically, but I don't know that we've had this conversation recently, this tension, could you address this tension between our estimating protocol and how you could get to a high estimate, but as you said, the bids came in above the estimates because of market conditions, and whether we should revise our guidelines for doing estimates to take into consideration market conditions.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. I think I'm not sure when this estimate was done, but what we're seeing here and BES is usually pretty good at doing things pretty close to when they're bidding them out. What we're seeing is that there's just rapid market changes. I mean, they're happening on a daily, weekly basis. And so even if there was an estimate that was done right before the bid going out, you know, there's market conditions that could have changed. Representatives from BES that maybe can explain about this project.
I'm because it's been a long day, I'm happy just to plant the seed. But I mean, so in my conversations with the utilities, from time to time, when faced with a trend where it looks like the market is working against us, I've suggested downgrading the estimate from high to medium. And the look I get back is almost like I've committed an ethical public offense in suggesting to do that. And my thinking is, if we think the prices in the market are going to come in above the estimate, I don't want my engineers in a situation where they have to defend, well, you said it's a high confidence, but now look, the bids are well above, so you obviously don't know what you're doing. Well, we don't have a crystal ball, and we don't know day to day what's happening in the market. But my understanding is that the protocols for estimating these projects really don't fully take into account market conditions. And so you could do your job, come in, say high probability, high confidence, but it could be that you're heading into a blizzard in terms of the market, in which case the prices are going to get bid up.
So in that case, Commissioner, I would agree with you. So if we do know that market conditions are changing and you do know that you're not going to have a contract and it's not going to bid out for a little while, then it would be appropriate to put medium in there.
It would be.
It seems to me, if you know that market conditions are changing, that you would put a medium.
So I may need to have you to come to one of our joint meetings, A, to defend me, and B, to help us understand how to do that.
So, Nick, I think one of the contractors would also like to come up and add some commentary. Please come on up, sir, and if you could just state your name for the record.
I'm Gary Stevens.
No, not yet. You got to wait till you get up there.
Another thing that...
Can you state your name for the record?
Gary Stevens with Moore Excavation. I'm the operations manager.
Thank you.
One thing that also, in addition to market conditions, one thing that's greatly impacting our cost of doing work is the traffic congestion. You know, if you envision, especially on a job like this project where there's a lot of open cut, we have to get rid of a lot of, we call it spoils or excavation. And you look at the four or five key areas that allow disposal of materials and pick up, it's either 190th and Division, Scappoose, or Tigard, or Canby. Well, the way the traffic's impacting our cycle times are greatly increasing, as much as 25-30%. So that is... has a big impact on top of the market conditions of doing work.
Well, I'm going to make a motion, Mayor, that we pay for this gentleman's transportation cost to go down to Salem and testify in support of the state transportation
Amen.
Bill. Because that's the argument we're now hearing from legislators outside the Portland area, that they're hearing that there are such challenges around freight mobility that our problem has become their problem.
And it's quite disturbing to hear that there's really, I envision that the counties, the cities, the state, and Metro were all working on this great plan to eventually have a solution to our traffic congestion in the Metro area. But I was informed by Mr. Wheeler a year ago when he came and spoke to our Utility Contractors Association, he knew who the audience was, and he immediately said before we started, if you think there's a plan in place, there's not. Which is really disturbing for our industry. The cost of business, if you can imagine each one of those dump trucks costing $125 to $130 an hour, and when you have 10 or 15 of them on the road and they're sitting on I-5 not moving, the cost of business to us is astronomical.
Well, and you're suggesting, you're making the case that those costs are then borne by our ratepayers.
We have to pass them on to you.
So
unfortunately, but I guess my point is several. It's not only, yes, market prices have gone up on materials greatly. Yes, labor is going up. But there's other variables, such as traffic, cycle time, putting more trucks on to be able to just get. You've got a crew over here trying to get production, and you don't have the trucks there that they can load out. So you've got to add more trucks that are stuck in traffic.
Well, thank you for that, sir. That's very helpful.
Yeah,
good
that
context.
Is helpful. So, appreciate that very much.
Get off my soapbox here for a minute. But
that was a good soapbox. Thank you.
We'll try to find out who this Wheeler guy was who said that to you. Because speaking for the council, it's outrageous.
A year ago, so.
It's outrageous.
It's good to know I was depressing a year ago, too. I haven't changed. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. So I really appreciate the details in the impact statement, that the seven different parts of the bid broken out to explain why it was more or less, and that's clear for anybody who's wondering. So congratulations on that. Just going back to the previous agenda item, though, were there other opportunities for subcontracting that Moore Excavation chose to do itself?
Can you answer that?
Yes.
We identified 10 categories, and we solicited 55 different contractors. We only received 11 responses in five categories. We only received 11 out of 55 solicitations, 20%. Five were no response at all in five categories. Three were just one response. One was two responses, and then we got six trucker, which sort of inflated the response. This totals Our dollar amount of $640,000 on this contract equates to 50% of our subcontracted amount for this job, which a year ago, if you remember, we had a 35% goal of subcontracted amount, but we changed it to 20% gross of the contract.
The city changed their policy.
The city changed their policy.
Yes, we did.
So I'm saying a year ago, the city policy was 35% of the subcontract. And this equates to 50%. So we, if this would have taken place a year ago, we would have greatly surpassed the subcontracted amount.
That's why we changed our policy, Gary.
Yes, why we changed the policy. But and that's that's not the question I was asking.
Oh.
Were there potentially other tasks that you chose not to put out as subcontracting possibilities?
We solicited everything. Like you say, 10 scopes of work, asphalt paving, saw cutting, concrete work, hauling services, traffic control, erosion control, video TV, cured in place, manhole rehab, pest control. And like I said, out of those 10 only, we had 5 no responses at all in those categories.
I'm not being clear, obviously. You identified the categories. Could there have been other categories that could have been bid out, but more excavation chose to self-perform?
I don't know of any.
That's all the subcontracting possibilities that there are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So, and I just wanted to address one of the reasons we did change our policy is because of 35% on subcontracting. If you were not subcontracting, you were self-performing all the work. It was easy to make the percentage, but there was not dollars actually going to minority and women businesses. So that was the emphasis on us changing the policy to the overall project value so that there would be more meaningful opportunities for minority and women businesses.
And so we're not meeting that because out of $5.7 million, only about $640,000, and $5 million to the prime contractor and a smaller amount to subcontractors. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so our goal is an aspirational goal. It does not require.
That's correct, Commissioner.
Are there, when you're considering the bids, does that factor in to which bids you accept as to how much minority subcontracting there is?
Unfortunately, we cannot view, since it's an aspirational goal, it is not a responsiveness issue. There's other ways that we can kind of go around trying to increase participation, but it is not a responsiveness issue.
I see. Thank you. And obviously, Mayor, it's one of the crucial things that we still need to work on with our equity policies and our work is this issue of where does the money go. So thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. Yes, sir.
If I may say one thing, you know, another thing that in the marketplace, because of the robust economy, we're competing against the private work that's going on in the Tri-County area. And there's a lot of that. I mean, even ourselves, we turn a lot of work away that we just can't accommodate. And a lot of these minority contractors are doing private work because it's easier paperwork-wise, if you will. They don't have to comply with apprenticeship and all that other requirements. Not saying that those are bad, but I'm just, reality sets in. It's easier to do private work than it is public work, wages, etc. So That's another factor.
But we're hearing that, sir, also from the building trades. I mean, they're at 100%, and they're bringing people in from outside the state, so there are capacity issues. But that also then gives us an opportunity. If you flip that around, one of the things we could be thinking about is how can we grow more qualified firms to compete for this work. And what you hear from a lot of the smaller firms is access to capital, being able to get bonding, other
Correct.
Kinds of things. So if Correct. We want to create more opportunity, we also have to think about creating more players that can actually come in and compete.
Well, one area that you can help that is not having the city self-perform as much work as they do and issue more of that to the minority contractors, because the city self-performs a lot of work. You've heard of it before, you know, the amount of paving that Piedmont does and et cetera. If they would set aside some of that work, more of that work to minority contractors, they would be able to accomplish those goals.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Well, we have a testimony.
That's fine here. Well, we have so a motion moved. In a second,
okay.
I'm predicting.
Yeah.
Second.
Very good. Oh, we're dicing it up. Now we'll take public testimony if there is any.
Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Here he comes, the man, the myth, the legend.
Well, since we still have a few more items to go,
Charles, we're
going to
lose
minutes?
A quorum here. Is this?
Yeah, it'll be brief. Yeah, and it's on because actually it's your fault for letting the great contractor testify about one of the most problematic issues here, especially for the people who will be coming tomorrow. For the record, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. I don't know about the, you know, I'm not an expert on the material and the disposal and what options are available at Ross Island Cement or how far, where this particular work site is located in relation to 197th, but dirty diesel trips in Washington Park, dirty diesel trips here. So I think as you look at the comprehensive greenness of city contracting, maybe ways to incentivize. I know it's a rough balance between minority contractors who sometimes have older equipment, and also maybe there's room for innovation in thinking about, I don't know the nature of the excavation at Ross Island and what can be taken there as far as if they can take in as well as send out materials or reuse there, but I think that might be a contributing factor for some projects cycle time, if especially in urban core projects, if they have removal of material that cannot be, you know, is not going to be used on site. If there are closer places than 197th, that's better for air quality. So there's some room for innovation here. Also, maybe with the College of Urban Studies earlier, Mr. Fish, you raised the topic of getting maybe more comfortable degrees of certainties about the financial costs and to open that up for both the tech community and the academic community to interact with the city is an opportunity engine for the city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And anyway, call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The report's accepted. We have three.